Hey, y'all. Today's sponsor for Thinking Sideways is Audible.com. Audible is a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook of your choice and a 30-day free trial at audiblepodcast.com/thinkingsideways.
Thinking Sideways.
I don't understand.
Does not compute.
You never know.
What?
Stories of things we simply don't know the answer to.
Welcome again to another episode of Thinking Sideways. As always, I am Steve, and of course I'm joined by...
Devin.
And Joe.
And once again, believe it or not, I know it's hard to believe, we've got... a strange case.
Believe it or not, I know it's hard to believe. Believe, yes. believe.
A huge mystery.
But... today's episode is brought to you by Believe.
Yeah.
Well, what we're going to talk about today is the Max Headroom broadcast interruption. Everybody remembers the 80s, right?
Not really.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you don't, then you're missing out on a lot of iconic TV shows and characters, specifically the character named Max Headroom.
Yeah. I actually liked that show a lot.
I did too. Max Headroom, he was the first quote-unquote digital character on TV, and though really there wasn't anything digital about him.
No, he was Matt Frewer, in heavy makeup.
Yes, exactly. who's been in a ton of stuff through the years since then. It's actually funny is every time I see Frewer in a TV show, I expect him a little bit somewhere in the back of my head to do that weird Max Headroom stutter.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't he do it?
I know.
That's not his voice. What's going on?
You know, you guys ask that every time you meet somebody in public, like a fan. I'm sure.
Well, but you know what? This isn't an episode about 80s TV or my favorite 80s TV shows, which there are a lot of them. So it's because it's my childhood.
Yeah, that was actually, if you're not old enough to remember what TV was like back in the 70s and the 80s and stuff, it's like TV is a lot better today. You young whippersnappers should really appreciate what you've got. It sucked.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about the Max Headroom character being used, or the face of the character being used in what is sometimes referred to as the best hack of all time of broadcast television.
Although, actually, technically, it's not really a hack so much as an intrusion.
Yeah, whatever. Tomato.
Yeah, exactly.
Depends on your perspective, I guess. Now, before we get too far into this, I do want to thank our listener, Yossi, I believe is how you pronounce the name. I'm not exactly 100% positive, so if I mangle that, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Hey, by the way, if you're a listener and you want to send us a suggestion and you have a strange or sort of unusual name... maybe tell us how to pronounce it.
Yeah, if it's a hard-to-pronounce name or a normal Joe, Ben, Bob, Devin name.
Then... a normal white person name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because we're dumb. that would be helpful. But we got this request first through one avenue, and then next thing you know, a bunch of requests for it came through.
It's so super popular.
It was a super popular one. I think we got two or three on Twitter alone, so we had to do it. I knew I had to take it. So I stole it out from underneath Devin, who was planning on it.
I was.
And we're going to run with it from here. So this is a terrible episode, you can blame me and just think fondly of what it would be like if Devin had done it.
Yeah.
If it's a terrible episode, you can blame the 80s. Damn you, 80s.
All right. Well, let's get into the story. On November 22nd, 1987.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
I was 5 months old. I remember this. This was awesome.
Yeah.
Hopefully you had a TV in your nursery and you could watch this.
No. I don't think I was watching TV at 9 p.m.
You didn't have a flat screen TV right there in your crib?
I don't remember a lot from that time period, but I definitely don't remember flat screen TVs.
Ever.
Yeah, ever.
It was kind of a primitive time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
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 They all had dials on them still.
Right. And, you know, people wrote things in chalk on walls instead of with markers.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was such a primitive time.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry.
I knew a guy whose remote was one of those clicker remotes. You ever seen those?
Oh, the actual clicker?
Yeah. And they had the noise, yep. Actually, to change the channel.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
We're getting way off track.
Had to rub it in.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Well, let's start this over.
Okay, sorry. Okay. I won't laugh this time.
You promise?
Nope.
Okay. On November 22nd, 1987, during the 9 o'clock news' sports report on Channel 9, which the call sign is WGN-TV.
Yeah, WGN America. Everybody knows because that's the channel that plays America's Funniest Home Videos. That's pretty much all they play these
days. That is all they play. Yeah. By the way, this is in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
The news viewers were watching as the anchor at the time, his name was Dan Rohn, was cut off literally in mid-sentence, and he was replaced with a black screen, so the screen just went black. It had some funny little numbers on the bottom, and that sat there for about 10 seconds, and suddenly the screen was filled with what looks like a piece of corrugated metal rotating back and forth. And if you've never seen Max Headroom, take a moment, pause this episode, and pull up anything from the Max Headroom show, and he's always got these weird streaming lines and rotating stuff in the background, and that's what this is reflective of.
But it actually was like corrugated tin.
It was.
It corrugated tin, like off a roof.
It looks like corrugated roofing is exactly what it looks like. But it's rotating back and forth, and there's a person wearing a Max Headroom mask standing in front of it, kind of bobbing up and down and back and forth for about 10 seconds, and then suddenly the screen goes black again, and it returns to Dan Rohn staring into the camera. So this whole thing has lasted 25 seconds,
mm-hmm.
not a very long time.
Yeah.
There was absolutely no audio. There was there was no verbal audio. There's a weird tone. I couldn't ever figure anything out from it. Nobody else seems to have really cared what it was, so I'm guessing it was just interference of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all there was. And to his credit, Dan Rohn did a fantastic job and had a sense of humor because he looks into the camera and I kid you not says, well, if you're wondering what's just happened, so am I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would have said something like, thanks, Max, for that great report. Now back to...
Well, you know, it's funny is that Rohn did obviously have a sense of humor about this. Because the next week, he pretended to get interrupted again by the Max Headroom.
That was a stage
but
thing,
that was
though,
totally
right?
staged. Yeah. So he was obviously willing to have a little bit of fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if that had been all that happened, if that was all that occurred, nobody really would have cared. And this story would have just disappeared.
Yeah.
It would have just gone off and be no more.
But...
Best not.
Max Headroom went too far.
Max Headroom continued his nefarious deeds.
He interrupted an episode of Doctor Who.
He did.
And Doctor Who fans rioted. And
no.
Nearly burned the city to the ground.
No.
Okay.
That was not what
there
caused the
no
Great
rioting.
Chicago Fire. Doctor Who fans.
Yeah, okay.
No, what happens is we now move over to Channel 11, which is station WTTW. As Joe said, they were airing an episode of Doctor Who, and it was the Horror of Fan Rock episode.
Season four,
which for
our fourth Doctor.
Good trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our Doctor Who nerd fans.
Tom Baker. Scarf.
My absolute favorite old Doctor.
Yeah, he's one of the best.
Yeah.
No, he is the best old Doctor for sure.
Yeah.
And somebody email me about this. We'll talk about it.
Well, do we want to talk about his scarf? Or what? Should we just leave that
Let's
alone?
Let's just leave that
okay.
well alone.
Because we'll talk like 10 minutes about Dr. Yeah. Who. And really, yeah. that's not what we're here for.
No.
We're here to solve a mystery.
We'll do an episode on the Doctor Who scarf at some point.
We really should. Okay. At 11:15, again, this is right in the middle of dialogue of this episode of Doctor Who. The screen gets kind of staticky, and if you've ever watched old television when the vertical and the horizontal is kind of off, it kind of twisted and bended from vertical to horizontal a little bit, and then all of a sudden flips, and suddenly, presumably the same person wearing the Max Headroom mask, standing in front of a piece of corrugate metal. From here on out, I'm just going to refer to this person as Max, because it's simpler, because we really don't know who that person is, and that's one of the key things in this mystery. Mm-hmm. But from here forward, we're going to talk about Max. Unlike the first interruption, there was audio that came through, and it was spoken audio.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little distorted. It was more than a little distorted. It was really distorted.
It's actually one of the like creepier things for me. Like, this is another one of those mysteries that you hear about and you watch the video late at night because you're dumb and on some Reddit thread that says, what's the creepiest unexplained broadcast, and you're, you know, laying in bed thinking, oh, they can't be that creepy. And they aren't that creepy, but for whatever reason, there's like one little thing about it, and it's, for me, it was the pitch of this, like, audio.
This audio is very high pitch. It's really difficult to understand.
It is. And the thing about it is, too, is the guy is just his antics and his talking and everything. It's just, like, a little off his rocker. It's like, it reminds me of a more frenetic version of the Joker when he busted it on television in Gotham City.
Yeah. You know? No, I agree with that.
Yeah. It's wild. There's hand flailing. And we're going to get into some of this. But I do want to just give a big thank you to whoever took the time to try and clean up that audio and then transcribe it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I had to try and do that, it just wouldn't have happened. I'd have given up on like the second play because it's kind of tough to hear. And that's one of the reasons that we're not actually going to put that audio into this episode, is that it is very difficult to understand, and it's not pleasant to listen to. It's a minute and a half long.
Plus, it doesn't make a hell of a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It's easy to find. Watch the video.
Yeah, you can watch the video if you want, but let me just walk through and kind of describe what happens.
Yeah.
So again, we've got Max in front of the same rotating background.
Which makes me sick.
It's very brightly lit. It's reflective. It's hard to look at. Talking into the camera after a couple of lines, Max bends over, picks up a Pepsi can, and says the line, "Catch the wave," which, if you don't remember, or if you're not from that era, is from a Coke ad that was running at the time.
Not just Coke, New Coke.
New Coke, yes. You're right. Max flails around a Pepsi can, which is kind of weird because it's Coke ad to Pepsi can. But anyway, flings it forward. It hits the ground, bends over, grabs it, tosses it away again, flips the bird at the camera wearing a rubber finger. And this is one of those weird interpretation spots in a story. I've heard that it isn't a rubber finger, but instead is a rubber phallus is probably the nicest way to say it.
A marital aid. Okay.
I don't know for sure. It looks like a rubber finger to me, but people say it's something
that
else.
That video's pretty blurry.
It's hard to say.
And so, continuing on from there, Max says a few more lines, starts to then hum the tune to a TV show from the 1960s, which was a cartoon called Clutch Cargo. And this whole time, it's this funny voice that Max is talking in. The background is, again, still moving back and forth. Suddenly, Max bends over and picks up a glove and puts it on, or tries to put it on, before throwing it away. Continues to gyrate around a little more. And then suddenly, the scene cuts. And the scene cuts to the rubber mask being held up off of the left side of the screen with the rubber finger or phallus, whichever it is, sticking out of the mouth. and there's some dude with his bare butt sticking out of his pants, holding the mask next to it, continuing to talk in that weird voice, and there's a woman on the right side of the frame.
Or somebody at least dressed as a woman.
Somebody dressed
as
a woman.
Yeah,
you
can't
really
tell.
Because it's really, you just see kind of, you know, mid-torso to maybe a top of the thigh, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And this person has a fly swatter and begins to smack presumably the same person, which would be Max, on the bottom as Max continues to talk, and then it goes black, and it cuts right back into the episode of Doctor Who that was playing, and this is my favorite part. It just happens to cut in as the Doctor looks at the camera and says, "As far as I can tell, a massive electric shock. He must have died instantly."
God, I love that.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, so it looks to me like there were only two people involved in making the video. Because, you know, after the cut, that the background has stopped rotating, which means the person that was rotating at the first half had to stop doing that.
We'll get into that,
Joe. Oh, you want to talk about that later?
We'll get into that when we're talking into theories, because you're a little bit ahead on there. But that's a good observation.
Because we want to talk about what he said, right?
Right, because what he said, it's weird.
He's weird.
The whole thing is weird. It is so strange. So this isn't an exact transcript. Some of the stuff I pulled out, some of it I kept, but I'm just going to kind of run through what we have that we know that people have figured out that Max said during this second broadcast interruption, the one that was a minute and 25 seconds or so long during Doctor Who. It says, "He's a frickin' nerd. I think I'm better than Chuck Swirsky, frickin' liberal," which, according to the research, is referring to a sportscast announcer for WGN Radio at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Then, again, Catch the Wave, which is the new Coke slogan we talked about. "Your love is fading," is shouted right before he throws the finger/phallus onto the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. "I still see the X." This is a reference to, remember I said that Max was humming a tune from that TV show Clutch Cargo?
Uh-huh.
That is evidently the title of the last episode of Clutch Cargo from the 1960s.
That's crazy. Mm.
Yeah, that's a really, really far back reference.
Yeah.
Let's see. "I just made a giant masterpiece for all the world's greatest newspaper nerds." Again, this is evidently another Chicago-centric dig, and it's at Chicago's TV stations. The call sign, which we talked about earlier, WGN,
yeah,
it's an abbreviation for World's Greatest Newspaper, which the Tribune, the Chicago Tribune, who owned WGN, that was what they used to call themselves in the early days, and that's how WGN came about.
Okay.
So again, there's a lot of weird little riffs. I said that Max picked up a glove, and he says, "My brother is wearing the other one. It's dirty. It's like you got bloodstains on it," which I don't even get.
That's why I said this is like gibberish.
It's like the ramblings of an addled mind.
It kind of is. We're almost done, though. When the mask and the exposed bottom are shown on the screen, we hear Max say, "They're coming to get me. Come get me, bitch." At which point, the flyswatter begins to go into action. And indicative of the Max Headroom character, there's a lot of stuttering of words, but it's weird because instead of so much, Max Headroom used to do a lot of stutters as if you would have a digital audio file or a record that was skipping.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the way it was made to sound, like his audio file was scrambled.
Mm-hmm.
And this person sounds like they're trying to mimic that, but really what it turns out into is more of moans and drawn out words, and there's some screaming and gyrations, and
it's like a break in the middle. It's like the bridge of the whole artistic piece where he just like screams and moans and like laughs for like
5 seconds,
five
at
seconds
a time
or something, and that. That honestly is the creepiest part for me.
Mm-hmm.
When he's doing that, the first time I watched it, I didn't totally understand the heads. I was not in the Unsolved Mystery like world yet, So I...
And obviously not a child of the 80s television
show. I was not.
Show.
So I wasn't in the headspace of the weird, crazy people of the world. And I just kept thinking, that person's in so much pain. What's going on? Why are they still
doing
that?
They're getting hit by a flash flood. That's got to hurt.
Well, no, it's before that. It's when he's still in the chair. So I, you know, that's the creepiest part for me is just the scream moans that happen every once in a while.
Yeah,
it's weird.
If you Google Max Headroom broadcast interruption, you will find this.
Watch it.
Watch the video. I'll give everybody a hint. If you find a video that is 30 seconds or so, that is the initial interruption that basically has no audio except for Dan Rohn talking. If you see anything that's a minute and a half plus, that's going to be the second interruption. If you can find one that has subtitles, I'd recommend that because that really helps you understand what's going on.
Maybe we can find one and post it on the website.
Yeah, I've got one bookmarked that's got the...
We'll put it on the website.
We'll have to put that up. But if people want to just track it down, I would recommend looking for one that's got the subtitles.
Great. Yeah, because you really can't understand what he's saying.
It's very difficult. I know we watched it one more time before we started tonight, and I started understanding it, but it must have been the dozenth time that
least.
I had watched that thing. So it finally started making sense.
And watch it again. If you've seen it before but not recently, watch it again. I always forget about that second half. I don't know why. I just always do.
The fly swatter scene?
Yeah, I always forget about that.
Your mind probably blocked it out.
Probably, yeah.
It's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
We remember the good things.
My fragile 5-month-old mind.
Yeah.
You were already watching Doctor Who on your flat screen TV.
Of course I was. Are you kidding? Of course I was.
As I said before... This whole thing, the second interruption, lasted about a minute and a half. That was over 25 years ago. And to this day, we don't know positively who did it, who pulled it off. The authorities tried to figure it out. They didn't ever get to the bottom of it. And the theories are kind of sparse. There's not a whole lot of theories. Really, I've only got 3 so far. But before we get into the theories, I want to help everybody kind of understand how this could have been done. Because hacking TV today is very, very difficult because it's a digital signal. If you don't know how digital signal works... Don't try, because it's really, really complex, and your chances of getting in there are somewhere between slim and none.
No, you're better off actually just invading the TV station and tying up everybody at gunpoint and then just putting your stuff on.
That's the easier way.
That's easier than actually trying to hack their signal.
I wouldn't do that.
I'm not recommending that.
I'm just saying.
We're not even, like, mildly suggesting that.
No.
We're, like, saying don't do that.
This is, in a simplified version, as with most descriptions.
Yeah, all our science.
This is very, very simplified.
The science of thinking science.
I will start with the fact that, without a doubt, what was done, according to the government, was against the law.
Of course.
A broadcast interruption. According to... This name is terrible. 18 U.S. Code 1367, which was enacted in 1986, had put an addition in that said that satellite jamming was a crime. Technically, this is satellite jamming, so this was definitely a crime, according to the government. But they could never track down who did it. The FCC had looked into it, and they're kind of, it seems like, the ones who deal with this. But that's why it was a crime. But this... is how you do it.
So, wait. So, we're just going to go ahead and say, disclaimer, we're saying it's a crime. It's still a crime. We're going to tell you how to do it, but we're not saying do it.
Well, you can't really do it anymore. Yeah.
That's the thing. Everybody uses a digital signal now.
Right. So, that's what we're saying.
This is how somebody would hack an analog television signal.
Okay.
So, if you had, you know, you had the big metal antenna on top of your house...
Sure.
And that's how you got TV forever until about 5 years ago.
Okay.
Well, it was an analog signal.
Okay.
And they stopped analog. So you can't do this method anymore.
All right. So disclaimer.
But don't try it anyway.
You can't do it. You can't do it.
And besides, which actually we're going to like slip in some disinformation and we're going to be kind of vague about the whole thing. So, you know, you're not really going to be able to use
our
information.
Steve's science isn't really that good.
Oh, no. Steve's science is terrible and inaccurate and half of it's made up. Okay. to spread their signals across the city, what a local TV network would do is they would first relay their signal from the studio to a high-powered transmitter that was on top of a tall building or a skyscraper. And that connection between those two places, between the TV station and the transmitter, is actually where the weak spot is at. So that's the weak link in the process, which is what somebody who was going to do a broadcast interruption would...
That's where they would have done
That's what
it.
They would capitalize okay. on. That's where they would strike. To interrupt the signal, it was really, really simple. All you had to do was you had to have transmission equipment of your own, and you had to be vertically at a high enough location. And people say that this would be on the roof of a building or some kind of high rise or something like that, in between the studio and the transmitter.
Were they not typically on top of the studio? Like, was that not...
No, they were not always in the same location.
Okay.
So the studio was in one place, but the transmitter was on top of a big, tall building with lots of strong equipment to spread it around.
Okay.
So yes, it is two different places.
Okay, okay.
So you get in between the two, and according to the research... People think that in this particular instance, that means that it was somewhere between north or the northwest sides of Chicago. And from there, all you had to do was identify the skyscraper that had the transmitter on it and blast it with a high-powered microwave signal of your own.
Yeah, and it doesn't even need to be that high-powered. It just needs to be a little more high-powered.
Just needs to be strong enough than the studio signal.
Yeah, a little stronger than that, and you're golden.
And mm-hmm. they were so far away. I'm sorry. So, okay, not only were they, like, not right next to each other, but they were so far away that... You could say, I don't know, it was like the north-northwest side of Chicago.
Are you talking about the two different transmitters that
yes.
were hacked? Yeah.
Well, I think that... So there's a great map out there, and I looked at it. And I want to say that they were only like a quarter to a half a mile apart. It wasn't a huge distance.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
close.
Big when that's like the only thing that's keeping you from being hacked.
But hacking wasn't that big of a thing.
That's fair. Yeah.
So that's one thing to keep in
yeah,
mind.
Yeah, different times.
Yeah, very different time. So as Joe said, you didn't have to have a hugely strong signal. You just had to be strong enough to override what was coming from the studio.
Okay.
And... People could do this relatively inexpensively on their own. The brand new equipment for TV stations costs tens of thousands of dollars.
Sure.
But you could get older equipment secondhand at an affordable price for a ham radio guy or somebody who's into that, an enthusiast. It wasn't a huge cost.
Sure.
And you didn't need a massive satellite dish. You know, DirecTV, those silly little dishes that people put on their houses?
Mm-hmm.
That's all the big of a dish you would have needed to use to broadcast at that transmitter to bust in.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The first signal interruption that we talked about, which was at WGN and the sports news section, that only lasted that 10, 20 second time frame, because as soon as Dan Rohn got interrupted and the screen went black and then Max came on, one of their engineers was pretty quick on his feet and he changed their frequency so that they were transmitting at a different frequency. The transmitter knew suddenly it should be getting this other frequency, so it ignored the interrupted signal. So that's why
Smart.
That one was so very short.
Mm-hmm.
For WTTW, Channel 11...
Somebody was asleep at the switch?
Somebody was asleep at the switch. Not so fast. So that's why that one went on so long. But as I was saying earlier to you, Devin, this wasn't the first broadcast interruption.
Okay.
If we look at...
Actually, if you look at the wiki page, there's a lot of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I only want to call out a couple of them that I found fun or kind of humorous.
Sure.
We've got April 22nd, 1986, a guy by the name of John McDougal jammed HBO signal. If you're from that era, you will remember the color bar screen. that meant that something was wrong or the station was off the air. And what he did is he presented that color bar with lines of text on top of it. And the text read, "Good evening, HBO, from Captain Midnight. $12.95 a month? No way. Showtime Movie Channel, beware."
Yeah.
And that sat there for minutes.
Yeah, although he didn't use a radio jammer. My understanding is he was working at a satellite uplink location, and he just switched the satellite. He just basically rotated the dish over to pointed.
Yeah, he worked with satellites. He also got busted, obviously.
Yeah.
He got fined, and he got like a year or so's probation. It's amazing how they figure out who did it, because he used some unusual text encoder to make the text that was on the screen.
Yeah, and so they figured
out. And that's how they figured it out, and that's how they busted this guy.
Yeah, and then there was another guy who got busted just because he was shooting his mouth off, and he would have gotten away with it. I can't remember which guy that was.
That one I don't know, but the other one I want to talk about, which I find a little humorous based on what it is and who got it, is September 1987, a gentleman by the name of Thomas Haney, I believe is how you pronounce it. He interrupted Playboy TV signal with text messages telling viewers to repent and find Jesus.
It's funny. You know, the one that comes to mind for me is the one where, it was some very young children's show and it got interrupted by porn for a couple minutes. I mean, I think, you know, it's the exact opposite of what you were just talking about.
Yeah, mine's funny. Yours is disturbing.
Yeah. Well,
Thanks
sorry.
For that.
Well, I just remember because I was in preschool at the time.
Were you watching the show when it happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were not.
Was it hot?
No, yeah. I don't know.
It wasn't local.
I don't know.
You liar.
Sorry.
I do too. Okay. Let's move on. Normally, this would be the point where, in this episode, since it is sponsored by Audible, I would tell you about a book that's on Audible that's related to this story. Unfortunately, I couldn't find one, so I thought I'd tell you something different.
Ugh, God, Steve, it doesn't go with the natural flow of the podcast.
I'll turn it around. Trust me, bear with me.
Okay.
As you two know, but our listeners don't, this weekend I took a plane ride to the East Coast and back, so I had nothing to do. So, of course, I went ahead and pulled a book off of Audible.
You signed up for your free trial?
I signed up for a trial, and I listened to... I got a Neil Gaiman book. I don't know if... Gaiman or Gaiman? I can never remember.
I think it's Gaiman.
Okay. And I don't know, have either of you two ever read any Neil Gaiman?
No.
I mean,
what
kind of stuff does
he
write?
The Sandman.
It's kind of sci-fi. Fiction. It's fun. It's light reading. And I knew that's what I was going to want for hours and hours on a plane.
Right.
And so I got Ocean at the End of the Lane, which was a great book. Mm-hmm. So if you're into Neil Gaiman and you haven't read that one, I'd get it, especially since it's narrated by him, which is pretty cool. He's got a great voice. And it's funny, as I was listening to it, I really thought a couple of times, is this really Neil Gaiman? Or is this the guy that played Severus Snape in the Harry Potter movies?
Alan Rickman?
His voice just kind of at times sounds like that. So it was really interesting.
Yeah.
But as I was looking through, the other book that I almost got was Chariots of the Gods by a guy named Eric
Von Daniken.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
About aliens coming to Earth.
I remember I read that when I was a kid.
And
I loved
it
that.
Looked really interesting, but it seemed too heavy for a plane ride.
Oh, no, it's not that heavy.
Well, it was much longer than the Neil Gaiman book. So I went with the Neil Gaiman book.
Okay.
But it seemed easier to pay attention to on an airplane. But if you guys want to download a Neil Gaiman book or Chariots of the Gods or whatever, you can. You can get your 30-day free trial and your first book free from Audible by going to audiblepodcast.com/thinkingsideways. I mean, it really helped me with the plane ride. I probably spent an hour perusing their library before I actually downloaded something because it's 100 or 150,000 titles.
Yeah.
And growing.
And growing. The app, I actually put the app on my tablet, which I gotta admit, most player apps drive me nuts. And what I really liked about this one is that when my device, when the tablet was asleep and I woke it up, the player was on the wake screen.
Oh,
so
nice.
I could quickly and easily pause it or rewind it a little bit, which so many people drop the ball on that. So I was really happy that that was there. But
good,
if
good
you,
design.
Yeah, it was. It's a really good site. So I like the player a lot. But if you guys want to start that trial, again, it's audiblepodcast.com/thinkingsideways. Start your free trial. And really, you know, it's hours of enjoyment.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So guess that doesn't really tie right back into the theory section.
I don't know. Is your next theory it's aliens?
No.
Oh.
Chupacabra?
Then you're right, it doesn't.
Crud.
What is your next theory?
Well, the first theory that I have is specific to one person.
Okay.
Which doesn't tie into aliens and chupacabras at all.
Not even, or Neil Gaiman or anybody.
No.
Unless it's Neil Gaiman. Was it Neil Gaiman?
No.
It wasn't. I don't know.
Yes, it was Neil Gaiman. The first theory is that it was Neil Gaiman.
No?
Was it Chup a Cabra?
Okay, stop it. Our first theory is that it's a guy by the name of Eric Fournier. People think that Eric Fournier is responsible for the whole thing. And the reason is Fournier does some weird stuff. He's got a YouTube channel. He makes really strange videos. He, as an adult, dresses up in odd costumes and wears a doll's mask. He's, by the way, cut the bottom of the mask off and duct taped it together so that when he talks, the mouth moves.
Oh, clever.
And he talks to the camera as a character called Shay St. John. He moves around erratically. There's some weird high-pitched voices, and he flails around. The gesture style is similar to what is in the Max Headroom video. It's weird. I watched a couple of Fournier's videos, these Shay St. John videos, and they're, I gotta admit, a little disturbing, and I didn't get them at all, because the costume is always in kind of various states of disrepair, and wigs that are ratty. It's just odd. So the story, though, is that in the 80s, in the mid-80s, Fournier is a young man. I think he was in his late teens at this point. Was in a band, and he wanted to get exposure for the band.
Oh, you know what's a great way to do that is not mentioning your band at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Just throwing that out there.
Stupid, creepy videos.
Yeah. Well, what he did, no. This is years ago, not the new videos that he's doing now. This was for the band then. But he, his original intention was to make a video promoting the band, and then he was going to interrupt the signal, and he was going to put it in there so people in Chicago learned about his band. And then at the last minute, realized what a dumb idea that was because it was going to come back on him super fast. So at the last minute, changed it up and made the Max Headroom video. Problem is, Fournier was in his teens at the time. And according to his friends, he, A, wasn't in Chicago to be able to pull this off. And B, didn't have the technical know-how to make it happen. So it's a weak link. I think it's because people watch these kooky videos and these weird erratic gestures and movements and presume that that must be the same person. I honestly think that part of the videos that Fournier does, they're sped up at times. So it looks like a person just normally leaning forward, leaning back, looks like a very abrupt, jerky motion because the track has been messed with.
Sure.
So I think that's why people think that it's Fournier. But yeah. I don't buy it.
You don't buy it? Okay.
No. I agree with you. Sorry. I was just sitting here Googling. Because you know, I know you hate when I do that.
Yeah,
I'm texting right now. Because
I was just, the name sounded familiar and it was from a creepypasta that I read and that's fine. But no, he is dead. He died in 2010.
Yeah,
who am I thinking of then?
Somebody from 4chan maybe?
Probably. That's what it is. I'm getting the two mixed up.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, that's my bad.
Yeah.
Screwed up. Thank you for correcting me.
You're welcome.
Catching that.
My Googling during shows pays off finally.
Absolutely.
Yes!
Thank you.
Yay!
She's not just Facebooking.
Yeah!
Okay. So, well, I'm an idiot. Okay. That one fell flat. Let's move forward here.
Let's find another theory here.
No, not the final theory.
No, I said find another theory.
Oh,
here.
Find another theory. Gotcha. Yeah, let's do that. We've got another one, which is that in 2013, someone got on 4chan and shockingly claimed that they were responsible for the entire thing. First of all, the person who claims that they did the whole thing really put some major holes in the story, and that's by specifically what they said they did. The person that claimed credit for the Max Headroom broadcast interruption on 4chan said that they were in a TV studio and no one else was around and they did it themselves.
Of course, that happens all the time.
Oh, all the time. The problem is that the cameras that are in TV studios, the quality and the caliber of them, it's vastly superior, especially in 1987, to what is available to the general public.
Or even just that, just vastly superior to what we saw in the broadcast.
And
quality.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Did this guy say he made the film in the TV studio? I mean, is it possible he made the video somewhere else and would just...
Bear with me on that question, because the next problem in their claim actually answers that.
Oh,
but
let me
finish up with this, which is, as Devin said, you know, this thing is crappy quality. It's
really
terrible.
Crappy quality.
So there's no way it was done on a TV studio camera. The other problem is... I'm not even going to go into why there was a piece of spinning corrugate and a Max Headroom mask and a rubber finger / phallus in a TV studio. That doesn't sound like something that's at the Home Shopping Network, and I don't know why that's in there, and I'm just going to kind of leave that alone.
But at SNL.
at the SNL studio, I could see it.
Yeah.
Nowhere else could I see
Although I guess not in the studio. They have prop rooms for that stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine smuggling a piece of corrugated tin into the studio too.
That would not go by security easily.
No.
So back to your question.
So that
Joe.
Answers that question.
Okay.
Yeah, he did it live.
The person said they did it live.
Mm-hmm. There's a problem with that.
Okay.
Yeah,
there's a giant problem because Max goes from jumping around and screaming with his head in the air and a direct cut to the butt / fly swatter scene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if that was done live, there's no way one person could do that. Never mind that other person was standing there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that could have been done live because it happened like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
So that's impossible.
Yeah, and the second person who was obviously rotating the corrugated tin back and forth. And then, so after the cut, it stops rotating.
It does.
So he's now impersonating a woman with the fly swatter.
But, he or she is dressed up. Yes, whether it is or is not a woman, we don't know. We don't even know if the person playing Max Headroom is a man or not. We're just a kind of a supposition based on the mask.
Yeah. Well, and the size. Maybe you.
The
I think it's a reasonable thing
it's a
to assume.
Reasonable presumption.
But it could be wrong.
It could very well be. Okay, so I'm completely discounting the 4chan claim to responsibility that came through in 2013.
Well, the other thing about the other problem that I have with 4chan is he said it was in the TV studio and he did it live. But we're talking two different studios here and two different radio transmitters, right?
Right.
Yeah, so he somehow managed to get himself alone into two studios in the same evening?
Or somehow interrupted both signals? Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the thing. Okay.
Yeah,
you would think that if somebody was investigating this and they went, it's funny, WGN and WTTW... their studios are close together, and their transmitters are close together. And funny thing is, there's another studio directly in between them. Maybe we should check that. But that's not the case. As far as I can tell, there wasn't another TV studio between the pair of them. So again, how would that person have overridden the signal?
Yeah, and then the next problem is that, say he does it from WGN earlier in the evening, and then between that and 11 plus o'clock, don't you think people are going to be showing up at the studio to find out what the hell happened with the earlier interruption?
They did. Yeah, actually, The first studio, WGN, they knew they'd been hacked because by switching channels, they were done. I believe it was WTTW. They were positive it was an inside job. And they freaked out and they combed the building, presuming that somebody had gone through and switched the feed internally rather than overpowering the signal.
Possible.
Which I think they kind of wasted valuable time in doing because they could have been trying to figure out where it had happened. But yeah, they were convinced that it was an inside job. But there seems to be no proof of that. There's nothing that we can say. You know, a videotape or a beta cassette tape. If you don't know what a beta cassette tape is, look it up.
It's on Wiki.
Google it.
Google it. A beta or a VHS tape was not found anywhere. You know, that smoking tape wasn't there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next theory.
Which I know Devin likes this one because Devin actually led me down the path to find this.
I did.
Which I'm really glad you did because this is a cool story at the very least. It's a very fun one, too. The story first came out actually on Reddit. So we went from 4chan to Reddit, which Devin obviously says Reddit's more reliable.
It's a step up.
And a guy who we eventually find out his name is Bowie Pogue. He posted his theory of what was going on. And here's his story. He says that he met a group of guys in the late 80s that were older than he was. It sounds like he was a high school kid at the time.
Yeah.
I seem to recall in one version of the story he was like 13 or something like that.
I think there's only one version of this story that I've ever seen.
The Reddit version. And I think it's junior high to high school. He's kind of in that weird teenage, adolescent.
And I don't remember how he met these guys either, but it was some weird way.
Yeah, it was a weird way. Well, he was into BBSs and stuff like that, and he seems to have met people through that sphere.
Hacker type people and stuff like that.
It was kind of a weird nerd scene. It was a new scene.
Just a weird nerd.
Okay,
sorry.
Now, that's okay. Really threw me off my game. But somehow, he befriended a couple of guys in a group that were older than he was, and they let him hang out. And the two particular people of interest in this story, Pogue refers to them as Jay and Kay.
Yep.
He's protecting their identities. He doesn't want to disclose who they are because he doesn't know this for sure. And we'll get into some of it later on. But according to him, Jay was slightly autistic, or he might have had Asperger's. It's unclear. And he doesn't even seem to be positive of the distinction in his description. So I don't want to draw guesses.
Yeah, we have no... The only thing we have is that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The way he describes him, he's got a sort of strange effect.
He does. Yeah. He's got a strange effect. That's
and
a
that
great way to put it.
Doesn't necessarily mean he did have any kind of... He kind of could have just been like a weird dude.
Yeah.
Could have just had a personality disorder.
Yeah.
But he did have a strange sense of humor. And the guy that is referred to as Kay was his brother, and Kay helped take care of Jay.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to post the link to this on the website, are we, to the Reddit thread? Because if not, I was just going to say, if you're interested, like, message us, and I'll make sure we send it, because it's worth a read.
If you Google Max Headroom Broadcast Interruption, one of the first links that comes up is the Reddit thread.
Okay.
So people can find it that way. I don't know if it'll be one of the ones that we put up, because it's in a number of the other links that we've got.
Yeah, that's fair.
But the thread is super easy to find.
Yeah.
Devin told me about it. I went home. I just put in that search term, and I kid you not, it was the third one that came up on the search.
If you're on Reddit, message us and we'll send it to you.
Okay.
Okay, well.
Do that. On the day of the interruption, he hung out with these guys, the same group of older guys. And in the course of their conversation, and again, this is a truncated version of his story, they mentioned in conversation that something big was going to happen that night. And when he eventually asked them what they were talking about, he told them, well, watch Channel 11 tonight. That was the same night as the broadcast interruption.
Oh, November 22nd, 1987.
Exactly.
Somewhere around there. You were 5 months old.
Yeah. On that day, exactly.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Sort of around there. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Poe goes on to describe, and this is part of the compelling evidence that he provides, is he goes on to describe the mannerisms of Jay, which he feels are directly reflective of the behavior of Max in the tapes that we see. He also says that Kay, the brother, had a lot of computer technology available in their apartment, tons of computers, and Jay had the technical knowledge to pull it off. One thing that he does point out is that if it is Jay on the tape, he would have been the right age to know the theme song from Clutch Cargo, which, again, was a cartoon from the 1960s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because they were older guys. They weren't late teenagers. They were adults.
Yeah, and Jay was supposedly like in his early 30s even. He was like a lot older.
He was much older, yeah.
He was much older than his brother, Kay.
Yeah.
Right. So if we're looking at 1987, we're talking, if he was born in 60, we're talking a 30-something-year-old guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, some shows, they end and they go into syndication and they get rerun endlessly on some of the secondary channels.
Not
I don't know. I don't
so
know. Clutch
much
Cargo.
Back then.
Well, there were a lot of shows, like Star Trek, for example, got rerun endlessly on local stations. So, but Clutch Cargo, you know, frankly, even though I was alive in the 60s, I don't remember it at all.
I don't know.
And it doesn't strike me as something that wound up in reruns. And, of course, back in the 80s, we didn't have, like, Hulu and Netflix and stuff like that.
You would have had to see it on TV.
You would have probably had to see it, yeah.
Or have parents who owned VHSs of it or something.
And you know, that's actually something that we didn't talk about. The reason that people have this is that a lot of people had VHS and they liked Doctor Who.
Yeah.
So all these people in Chicago were recording the Doctor Who episode. So that's the only reason that the broadcast interruption survived.
I would say that's also the reason that that one is so much more prevalent on the internet than the news one, because who tapes the news?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, there's...
But you tape Doctor
Who. I've only seen one copy of it. It's obvious it's the same one. Starts at the same place, ends at the same place. But there are multiple versions of the Doctor Who. So there's a lot of people... That's reason, you're absolutely right, that we still know about it. But we're not done with Poe's story.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about Poe's story.
Like I said, he has said very openly and adamantly in his Reddit post that he doesn't want to disclose who these guys are.
Yeah.
He has tried to get in contact with them, and they are non-communicative with him.
Non-communicative?
Thank you. I really don't know how to say that word.
Yeah.
They will not talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's left it at that. And he won't push anymore. There's a great Motherboard article, which I know we will put up. And that person has also agreed to not try to pursue it anymore. He actually used Poe as his source. Edgar Allan Poe.
Edgar Allan Poe.
So we don't know who it is. And on a related note, Pogue also denies vehemently that he is the person who did the interruption.
Right. It's that he knows the people who did it.
Yeah. And we see this, and I'm glad that he's smart enough to say this, is we see people all the time. Oh, I know who did it to stir up a lot of interest in the story when really they're the one who did it and they're getting some self-gratification out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I lend him a little bit of credit for, in his initial thing, saying, I didn't do this, so stop asking me if I did it.
I think, you know, the reason I pointed you to this thread was because I thought his story was actually very compelling. I didn't have a whole lot of problems with it. I found it very believable.
I did too. I'm not sure that it's really dispositive, but you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's believable.
At the very least, it is very believable. Yeah. I think he's got his facts in a row, and I think the way he tells it is very honest, and I think the way that he has continued to respond to it seems very honest as well. You know, the fact that he says, "I don't want you to know who these people are. I just want you to know that I think I know, you know, I want to tell the story of the people behind it," and you know, sticks to his guns about that. And I think, I don't know.
I like the story. I will be honest. I think I said this before, is that it's all circumstantial.
Oh, absolutely. All anecdotal.
That's my hardest part.
Absolutely
that,
it is.
That
yeah.
is the one thing that sticks in my craw the whole way through his version of events is it's his version of events. I got nothing to back it up with. So that, well, I like it. I agree with you. I like it. But
in fairness, there's no solid evidence pointing towards literally anybody.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Oh, oh, you wouldn't say that.
I wouldn't.
Oh, okay, Mr. Know-It-All says stuff hosting this show. What, how, what do you found?
Well, if you had been old enough to watch Max Headroom. No, I'm kidding. Now, you know, the last theory that I've got, which this is the one that I actually think is the best one based on what we have available to us, is that it was a disgruntled employee or ex-employee. And before you wig out on me, bear with me through this. Okay. Could have been an inside job. So the station might have been correct in looking around internally for who the guy was. But it might not have been a guy actually in the studio, because if you think about it, whoever pulled this off had to have a lot of working knowledge of how the TV stations worked, and who else has the better information than the people that work in the studio or the engineers that work at the station.
Mm-hmm.
So if some dude is peeved at his boss or gets fired and wants to poke him in the eye, this is an easy way to do it, and they would have the knowledge on how to do it. Think about this. Wait. I see that look, but bear with me. Do you remember all those lines that we read of what Max said? The world's greatest nerds.
Yeah.
And talking about Chuck Swirsky and stuff like that. Who is the network that keeps getting ripped on in all of the lines that Max says?
Yeah, well, WGN.
WGN. Well, why did Max go to WTTW? Because WGN shut him down and locked him out, and he only had the opportunity to make it happen at WTTW. Well, if Max was angry at all TV stations or all Chicago stations, I would think that there would be more rips on more characters that were known in the broadcast industry there. But instead, the only people and the only establishments that get directly ripped on are WGN.
Well, and
Coke. Its employees. Mm-hmm. Coke is because it's, I think, honestly, it's a direct relation to the Max Headroom character doing the new Coke commercial.
So he does. So that's the Pepsi thing, just for fun.
But all of the dialogue is aimed mostly at screwing with them.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me think that it had to be some kind of employee, somebody that knew the system and knew all of that internal information. I mean, WGN. I'm sorry. Who knew that stood for World's Greatest Newspaper?
Mm-hmm.
Probably only people that worked there, because it was probably splattered all over the walls on motivational posters and crap like that. So that's why I personally, I don't have any evidence, but yeah. There's not a lot of evidence here to start with.
But
that's
you know,
why I lean that direction mostly.
When you think about it, yeah, that at least gives a motive, because otherwise, what exactly is the motive for doing this besides just being an adolescent?
Yeah,
jerk,
I guess, like on the other hand, is what's the motivation for being a crazed Max Headroom, right? If you're a disgruntled employee, like you just knock them off the air for a little while. I mean. You know, it's the fact that you do this like weird, crazy broadcast that's so disjointed and mind melty. What's the point behind that as well, right? So for me, it's a little bit of a
that's
either side.
Yeah. I'm not going to disagree with that at all.
I
don't know why it wasn't Mickey Mouse.
Right. Yeah.
It could have been Mickey Mouse, a mask that the guy had been wearing. Doing something.
Mm-hmm. It could have been a Nixon mask.
Exactly.
I mean, it could have been an anybody mask.
It could have been anybody. And it may have been that they went, oh, hey, I happen to have a Max Headroom mask from Halloween last year. Let's make it Max Headroom.
Well, yeah. Obviously, it wasn't a real high-budget film
right.
that they made. But,
it wasn't.
But I think that if we wait like another 20, 30 years, somebody's going to die, and he'll leave. He'll leave as part of his estate, an envelope that's got a confession written on it. Then we'll find out.
I guess so. That's my big argument for the Reddit thread is at least it explains why, because it was kind of mentally addled youths.
That quirky sense of humor is actually the better way to say it.
With you know, people who are interested in hacking into things, exploring how far they can push that. With this weird, crazy, this would be hilarious sense of humor, right? So for me, that's why that one sticks out more than even a disgruntled employee. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm saying that a disgruntled employee isn't valid, because it's almost just as valid, but that's why I, just to like wrap it up, like the Reddit theory the most.
I will
fair enough.
You want to hear a fun fact?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. If anybody watches the video, we've already talked about the corrugated piece of metal,
mm-hmm.
and it took me a little bit of time to understand what I was reading, is that the FBI got involved in the case.
Right, because it's federal.
It's a federal offense.
Right.
And they figured out somehow, they were like, oh, it's got to be in a warehouse, and we got to look for a place that deals in manufactured garage doors. And I kept looking at the piece of metal that was spinning around going, that's not a garage door, you ding-dongs. That's a piece of corrugated metal.
They do make some roll-up doors out of corrugated metal, though.
But I figured it out earlier today is if you watch that video, when Max is talking at the camera and the piece of metal is spinning back and forth,
mm-hmm.
and you watch the upper right-hand corner of the video, when the square spins, it reveals what's actually behind it. And you can see what looks like a stone or steel column,
mm.
and then a giant roll-up steel door. A very small part of what looks like a roll-up door.
Oh.
Yeah. And that, I think, is where they pulled that. Because you can see it in the documentation.
I noticed that on the video, too. But the problem is that there's a lot of commercial buildings around that have roll-up doors.
Especially
in Chicago.
Yeah.
There's.
I don't know where they thought they were going to get with this.
Yeah, that's really going to get you far, dude.
It's a fun fact. So obviously everybody has paused this at some point and watched the video because they couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
Now they're going to have to pause it and look again for that. But this time, please keep the audio off. You guys got any other theory ideas?
No.
All right. Well, if you've got theories of your own, you can always let us know. You can, of course, go to our website, which is thinkingsidewayspodcast.com. Leave a comment. While you're there, of course, you can listen to and download the episodes directly from the website. Very few people do that. You can actually instead go to a regular place like iTunes and subscribe and download. If you're on iTunes, take the time to leave us a comment and a rating. Those are the things that help other people find us because that moves us up the charts.
Do it.
Of course, I know a lot of people are using apps There's a lot of podcast apps out there. There's a lot of streaming websites that we're listed on. You can always find us on one of the ones I know we are on is, of course, Stitcher.
Mm.
So you can find us on Stitcher. Things seem to be good on Stitcher at this point, so
they're
hopefully we're
fixed.
Okay. It appears to be good.
Thank God.
Let's see. Of course, you could find us on Facebook. We got the Facebook page and the Facebook group. Find us, friend us, like us, as Joe likes to find us, friend us, say. Mm-hmm. You can find us on Twitter. We are Thinking Sideways. So find us on there. We try to use Twitter a little bit, but mostly we just retweet.
I've been using it.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay. Oh, Devin's using Twitter.
Yeah.
So go ahead and send us a message
tweet
on Twitter.
Tweet at me.
Inundate her. So she has not, can only do Twitter all day long.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I don't have a job or anything. It's fine.
Exactly. That's why I told him to do it.
Yeah.
You could send us an email.
That would be good.
Actual physical email.
A physical email.
I know. I want somebody to send us a physical email because I've never seen one. They'll probably print a letter and mail it to us from their email. I don't know.
You tape it around a rock and you throw it through our window.
That email address is thinkingsidewayspodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email. If, of course, you did the Max Headroom interruption, you have ideas, you have thoughts, story suggestions, anything like that. We love to field them all, so go ahead and send us all to us. And I think that's all the ways that you can get a hold of us. If you find a new one, let us know. That having been said, we have gone on long enough, and I think it's time to finish this one up.
Yeah, I agree.
I think so. Ta-ta.
Bye, everybody.
Ride the wave.
Groovy.